campus of UL Lafayette. At 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. Let's start this hour by going into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
With me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are artists Stephanie Patton and Troy Duga, who are here to talk about an opening of their work in New Orleans at the Arthur Roger Gallery. When I say that phrase, I mean, I know so many of our listeners know that gallery. They've been to that gallery. It's an amazing gallery, and congratulations to both of you for being a part of it and having an opening this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're happy to have you in our studios as well, because you two are great supporters of KRVS. And have shared pieces of your work here with us in the halls of KRVS, and we enjoy them, and it enriches our day every day to have those pieces with us as well. In addition, the two of you are alums of UL Lafayette. You're graduates of the visual arts program here at the university. Both got your degrees in painting. So many connections here in our community. What year did you all graduate?
I graduated in 93, December of 93.
So, and then 94.
Right, yeah, now. Around that time. And I have to say, y'all were part of an amazing wave of young artists who came out of that program. And we've talked about that often on KRVS, the visual arts department, what a great tradition it has, and the numbers of artists it has let out into the world. But you all were part of a really interesting group. And so it's even more wonderful that you're showing together, that you came here and that you're showing together. You did go off in some different directions. So before we talk about your work that's going to be in this exhibit, what happened to you after you did your undergraduate? It was both in painting. Stephanie, what did you do?
I did graduate in painting, but I also was definitely experimental and had taken as many photo classes with Linda Fries as I had painting with Alan Jones, you know. So I was trying to figure myself out in that way. And I ended up, after graduating, with my first, I guess, multimedia installation. I didn't even know what it was, really. I ended up going to the Art Institute in Chicago for our graduate school, with my concentration being in photography. But what I loved so much about the program was how interdisciplinary it actually was. I didn't even take photographs the first full year of my school there. So after that, I packed up my suitcase and I traveled for about a year all over the place. Very interesting parts of the world. And then I, when I had saved a little money, I moved to Brooklyn and I joined all the Louisiana crew. And it's funny because I ended up working at Pratt Institute for 5 years in the admissions office, and that's where they all graduated from. So I have a really strong affinity for Pratt also.
Again, in that grand tradition of UL graduates since the 60s heading up to New York for a stint, and yet so many of you coming back down here. So you mentioned multimedia installation. Mm-hmm. It seems like you got into that very quickly after your undergraduate. What drew you to that?
I think it's kind of funny. I started doing what would be considered traditional painting, I think, trying to do the little landscapes or whatever I was supposed to do. Then I started taking photography, and then I realized I've always been a little bit of a performer. So I started doing these self-portraits in the photography classes. And how do you mix those two up? Then I started going into – I also always loved humor in my work, or I just liked – funny things. So I started shopping at thrift stores and getting into all these formal gowns as props for both photographs and for my own physical artwork. I started painting on them in the painting department. And then I got into these vintage purses and suitcases. Well, suddenly I found that I was putting the photographs on the purses and suitcases. And it just started having sort of a really natural kind of evolution that way.
So your whole life became your art. I mean, your interests in objects and what you saw and yourself, you became a part of your art as well. Is that – how old a tradition is that?
I would think that we weren't the first to make it up, for sure.
Not the first, but
no. No, it seems like – you know, I don't – that's a really good question. I mean, who knows? I would definitely think – I mean, you think of people like Andy Warhol or, you know, going back that far. Mm. I'm sure it was – way back.
Mid-century.
But I would think so. But actually, I have to credit Tom Ladusa with this. I'll never forget about five of us, the little brat pack or whatever. We were sitting at a meeting in the fine arts office, and he said, you know, you can make artwork out of a party. you can have a party and you can make it work.
What a life.
And there I went. It was just like
having parties.
And believe it or not, it was very much like when you say that, it's very true.
Teachers never know what they're saying
because
it's going to impact
you. No, it just grew into all of that, like the fake wedding and all these things, Ranella Rose Champagne. That all grew out of fun and collaboration. Definitely a big, big deal. And just living in it and having that kind of freedom to just explore and express yourself. Maybe a little too much. No, it was good. It was all fun.
Well,
but serious, too. We took ourselves seriously, you know.
Yeah, serious parties.
Very serious party.
Because they were going to be in your portfolio.
Yes.
Somehow. The whole shebang. Well, so Troy, you obviously went in a slightly different direction, although I'm sure you were at some of those parties that became art. So you came out of that visual arts painting program as well.
Right.
But then we wouldn't think of you as a painter these days necessarily. What happened right after graduation? What did you go off and do?
Well, it was all applying to graduate school. We were all encouraged to do that. Mm-hmm.
In addition to the parties.
And I mean, watching Stephanie and watching Sean Major and watching Brian Guidry, they all went off to all these graduate schools. And so we're not going to be left behind, you know. Although, I mean, I probably was one of the more quiet and still is shy ones of the bunch. But I still want to be around glad to be a part of it. I've been in many videos.
Yes, it's been good.
But, you know, I went to New York soon after graduation, which was very exciting to get into a school of that caliber. And really just to be in New York was amazing. The education that you get from being there is more than you can imagine and how much you can learn outside of school.
Right.
So that's where I went.
And you went to graduate school?
I went to
New
graduate
York?
School. Okay. And when Stephanie arrived, we met up again. So there's all these sort of like splitting up and then coming back together again. Mm-hmm. And when she started working there, we were in school there. And then we ended up living about three blocks away from each other in Brooklyn. And then I started participating a little more in the video projects. I can't believe she got me to do some of the things.
Oh, it was nothing.
You know,
we shouldn't tell you what you were going to do.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun to be there together at the same time. And then, you know, I think I moved back first, and then Stephanie came back, and we meet up again. And so it was a constant breaking up and meeting up again.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there are many other communities in the country that have so many young people who go away, but then they come back in such waves. Well, what happened? Now, Stephanie was obviously having her art happenings and parties and working on her art in that way. What were you inspired by in New York, and how did it get you to the kind of work you do now?
New York, like I said, I mean, you learn so much, not just in classes, but the museums. I mean, they're just there for you. The MoMA, the Guggenheim, you're just there. You know, you're working in the city and you can take a lunch break and go to MoMA and see your favorite Picasso, which I did, or my favorite Vuillard. And you can go visit those things and contemplate them and see them in real life. Amazing effect. Not only that, but, you know, New York was so good when we were there. It felt so safe and so prosperous. There was lots of work for all of us. We were doing very interesting things, maybe not always in fine art, but I worked a lot in design, in fashion design and in television. And that really influenced my work a lot, too. Not only looking at art, looking at contemporary art and experiencing contemporary art, but working in the field of design really influenced the way I looked at things and did things. I worked for a fashion designer for 3 years, and you know, I had to learn how to draft, you know, with a pen and a ruler. And I've never done that before, because in drawing class we use charcoal and we smush things around. So I learned new skills that I could apply to my personal work.
Well, it sounds like the two of you made the most of your time.
I say that all the time. We've got so much out of this place, and some people don't. You know, they go there and they get discouraged and lose faith, and the city can eat you up. It's a rough place. You know, it's very fast paced. It's like information all the time. Multiculturalism everywhere. I mean, you know, you have to be used to living in places that, you know, you might be the minority. What does that feel like? You know, here you don't feel that as much, but if you go to New York and live somewhere, you're probably will be the minority, and it feels great. You know, it's like a whole way of looking at the world.
Hmm. And also, just carrying eight grocery store bags up three flights of stairs.
I still do it.
It's really, you know, I remember moving back thinking, oh, my God, I have a car. Like driving down Johnston Street was surreal completely. Yeah. But, you know, it was all of that. It was such a
great
experience.
Sometimes I still shop. I'm like, I still think I need to carry all of my bags.
Yeah.
I still do it.
Because you don't want to – I mean, you're on the subway or whatever,
yeah,
you know.
You can't leave them behind.
Yeah.
I want to tell people who are tuning in right now that my guests are artists Stephanie Patton and Troy Dukoff. They open exhibits at the Arthur Roger Gallery in New Orleans this weekend. There's an opening on Saturday. So if you find yourself heading down that way this weekend or maybe afterwards, you can stop in at the Arthur Roger Gallery, see their work. They are from this area. Actually, you're from New Orleans originally, aren't you, Stephanie?
I was born there, but yeah. We didn't live there long.
Spend a lot of time. Both graduates of UL Lafayette in visual arts and painting, and their lives obviously have crossed in many ways, and went to New York and eventually came back here. So you had all those experiences in New York. You worked in many different kinds of jobs and then decided to come back. What influenced your decisions to come back here and work as artists here?
Do you want to go first since you came back?
Oh, because I came back first. It was difficult because things were going so well. I mean, I was, you know, a lead designer at, you know, the number one television, children's television show, which was really a lot of fun, and I learned so much.
Blue's Clues.
I really learned a lot, and I loved it. I was having my first museum show. I was illustrating a book for Simon & Schuster. I was doing all these multiple things, and I don't know how I was handling it, but I was. Then 9/11 happened, and we all sort of – we watched it, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was, you know, running in the park late for work and, you know, saw the buildings, you know, and everything just shifted. It just shifted, you know. I didn't even go to my show at the museum. It was difficult to finish the book I was working on, and I was a full-time lead designer at a show. So I couldn't really do all those three tasks. I can only do one. I went to work. And that's really the only thing I could do. And
After that.
Mm. And so, I mean, I just sort of kept going to work. Everyone kept going to work. Mm-hmm. The city changed. It just completely changed. I mean, I don't mean to be so dramatic, but, you know.
It changed for different kinds of people in different ways. Mm. And it's very interesting to hear your perspective being from another place and working in such diverse areas of the city. I mean, to see how that affected you.
And I felt like I'd gotten everything and more out of being there. I really did. I was like, God, I've done everything I wanted to do and much, much more. So it just sort of was a decision to start thinking about coming back home.
Mm. Stephanie, was it around that time?
I probably stayed about another year, a year and a half after. Mm-hmm. Brian was first, then you and Ralph and Sean, and I stayed. I had a great job. I was director of grad and international admissions. It was a big deal for me over there for the last 2 years. And I was also I liked it, but then I started getting jealous because I would see these people. I was working with faculty members thinking – I could be teaching, and I realized that I was on the wrong career track in terms of a full-time job. Mm-hmm. That was part of the reason that I want. Of course, I missed my family and friends. My grandmother was getting older. There were other reasons. But one other major incentive for me was the opportunity to teach at UL whenever we had that chance. And to be able to be an adjunct over here, I just thought, I'm going. And I never regretted that for a second. And I actually also think that being an artist here, I felt more like an actual practicing artist in Lafayette than I did in New York. New York was great, but when you're working like crazy and you have a few hours at night, you kind of need to like eat sushi or something, you know. You don't really go home I did a lot of video, which was interesting. Some sewing, began more sewing, but video was a big part of my artistic experience and performance.
It was more difficult to be an artist there.
Interesting to hear you say that, because that's why so many people
go
to be the artist.
But you end up in a little corner and not much space and not much time. And, you know,
but it's very important. I'll speak for me, it's very important to leave, to experience that stimulation, to come back, also take an event. Lafayette's a great place. When someone tells me something about Lafayette, like, why are you here? It's because I choose to live here. That's why I'm here. because I love it. I love the people, and I think it's a very strong artistic community, especially for the size, you know. I mean, people, not one person I've ever asked, do you want a show in Lafayette, has anyone ever refused? Mm-hmm. And these are people from New York, California, whatever. You know,
well, so, and just to hear you say that you can be more of an artist,
I
you know, there
so.
Are many of us who like the place, like so many mm-hmm. elements of it. But to say that you actually can be more of an artist here, that's quite a mm-hmm. statement.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, between Lafayette and New Orleans, mm-hmm. so many great ways to show your work and so many.
Very thankful for that.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for the Arthur Roger Gallery yeah. for yes. having mm-hmm. that, you know, letting us.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Again, Troy Dugas and Stephanie Patton, my guests, working here in the Lafayette area. They have exhibits opening this weekend at the Arthur Roger Gallery in New Orleans. Troy, the title of your exhibit is The Shape of Relics, and Stephanie, yours is called Private Practice. Mm-hmm. And that brings up all kinds
of
images.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes. And Troy, I guess we should tell people who are not really familiar with your current work mm-hmm. that you do a lot of mosaic with product labels.
I collect mm-hmm. Product labels, unused product labels in bundles. And I've basically for many years I've approached it in a couple of ways where I would take like 1,000 of the same label and dissect them and, you know, take an element out of it, a piece of text, a piece of color, a line. And so with 1,000 of them, you can, you know, take that element and repeat it so I can create lots of repetition and pattern. And that's one way I've been working with the material. Another way is to actually shred the material so you have less control over of isolating areas, but it's more random, and so the pattern becomes more random. So there's two ways I've been working for many years, and that's the way I've written about it and discussed it, and it's allowed me to continue making the work because I'm still interested in it. And a lot of it, too, is collecting the stuff. It's like I'm just like this crazy scavenger, you know, and mm-hmm. trying to find and collect this material. And I've been doing it for years. It's just that's part of it, you know, the attraction to the material. And then you have all this stuff that you can paint with. I know you say mm-hmm. your work's not really like painting, but to
it
me,
is, yes.
it's like painting with ink and with paper.
Yeah, just colors collected from a different source. Mm-hmm. Well, so you don't go around looking in trash bins for these labels.
Antique dealers, because a lot of the material is old and factories yeah. closed down okay. and products are discontinued. And so people deal with paper ephemera, have lots of this stuff, you know. And so
it's like factories would have boxes of their
exactly,
old labels.
Exactly.
Well, tell us about some of the labels you've enjoyed most finding.
The first, when I was in New York, you know, before eBay, there was, antique markets in New York. They closed like, you know, 10 streets and from 22nd Street to 30th, and I love that day.
Yeah. You know, we can hear it in your voice.
You just walk. I mean, it's just like antique dealers would come out into the streets, into the parking lots, and oh my gosh. I mean, you know, I found a bag of cigar bands, like probably 5,000 of them for $5. You know, it's old material. And I mean, of course, you have to have that. And so I brought it to the studio. It hung around for years, and I stuck a couple of them in my paintings. I started sticking them in the paintings, you know, mm-hmm. until eventually
they were
there was
precious.
No.
You just used little bits.
I didn't know how to use it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a proper art material, so mm-hmm. I stayed away from it for a mm-hmm. long time. But I also was shredding paper. I used to work in the financial aid office, and I was shredding documents. So I was making paintings with shredded mm-hmm. printed paper. So the printed material thing has always been there for years. But finding these labels really to have a mark that's the same, you can, like Van Gogh making the mark, making mm-hmm. the mark, making the mark. I can make that mark with that
over
piece
and over,
over
again.
And over again.
Yes. So cigar know, labels, cigar any label. Other old vintage labels that you were
I love,
excited about?
I really have these old French labels that I got from a dealer, and I'm pretty much in touch with this guy. He has tons of stuff, and I like the old paper. I like the old ink. Some of them, I'm working with one right now, actually, I really like. It's black with embossed silver, and it's just text, and it says modernized, what does it say? Modernized for mildness. That's my next show title.
Was that soap or
No, it's a cigar.
Cigars.
It's a little
okay.
cigar on the box, like a box label.
Those are very artistic, the cigar boxes and labels.
Yeah, they are. And there's art on them. So, right, I mean, I'm sorry I'm cutting the art up, but I'm making new art out of the art that exists.
They're beautiful, though. Right.
The labels are very beautiful. I'm very attracted to the material.
And I have to say the one that you have shared with us here at the station is Evangeline Made Bread. And everyone who sees it just responds so viscerally. I mean, it's part of our childhood around here, Evangeline Made Bread, and it just... It seizes them with this.
I have so much. Someone gave it to me because they saw a piece in Baton Rouge, and it was a student of mine. His father, I don't know how this happened, saw my work in Baton Rouge. And one day this guy showed up at my door with this huge roll of Evangeline. I mean, the stuff's on a roll. It's like a giant, I could wrap your building, you know, with Evangeline. Well, it's like they're not cut. They're on this big roll. Yeah. Actually, that material, I love it and I'm attracted to it. But the material itself is actually very plasticky.
Yeah, it's colorific.
It's hard to work with.
It's hard to work with. So some labels, because of the way that they're made, are hard. Mm-hmm. If they're too thick or if they have adhesive on the back, I don't like it. So if they're like not touched, never out of the package, and no adhesive, you know, and they're a nice paper.
And, you know, some people, if they're trying to envision what we're talking about, you do have a website and people can see some of your pieces there, and it's just Joy Dugas. Mm-hmm. Just look for that. Well, the pieces that you have at the Arthur Roger Gallery, maybe you have some of your more classic pieces, but you've also gone in another direction. They're more figurative mosaics.
Right. I mean, I've been working abstractly for a very long time. I've worked my way up to making abstract art. I always wanted to, but I never felt like I had a reason to. I always admired abstract artists, but like anyone else, I don't understand abstract art. You know, it's very hard to understand. So I just felt like I didn't really have the intellect. I knew all these people who were so smart in New York. They influenced me, another influence, people making this abstract work. And I was like, well, I'd love to make abstract art, but I don't really have a reason. But as soon as I got home, back to Louisiana, I started making abstract images with the labels, and been doing that ever since. But this new work, I had to do it. I don't know. I wanted to make portraits, and so it's very figurative. But I'm using the same material. I'm using the elements and making the patterns, and you know, making it look like fabric, making it look woven. But the figures are inspired by. These paintings from Roman and Egyptian times, ancient times, that they did on for mummies. Mm-hmm. So they would put them on their tombs. If you look in our history books, you'll see them, and they're very recognizable. And everyone, I think, responds to them. It's amazing.
It's those beautiful Mediterranean faces.
Yes,
we're not talking about the ancient Egyptian pieces.
No, not the flat.
Yeah, the more Roman.
What you would expect, because that's why I'm so interested, is that back in the ancient times, everything was very flat, and you know, they didn't know how to develop realism. These are kind of realistic. They represent the sitter. So I'm just really drawn to those, and I'm working from them.
But yet still using these labels and pieces of paper to create those colors and shapes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
How large are these pieces?
I've also been working fairly small. I mean, those are 4x4 feet, which is a bit smaller. I've been working very large for the last few years. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm a little afraid of them. I don't know why. They're hard to describe, and it's hard to take that departure when people are – you know, you want to do what's expected of you, you know, and that's recognizable of your work.
Like, so a musician always getting the same request for that,
that
old song.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I just had to do them. I don't know.
So what is the balance of new work and older work?
It's mostly my recognizable work. Mm-hmm. I only have a few of the portraits. I also have a couple of still lifes. So I really kind of branched out a little bit into some more, I guess, traditional imagery, you know, pictures, making pictures.
If you are tuning in, I've just been listening to Troy Dugas talk about his exhibit called The Shape of Relics that opens at Arthur Roger Gallery this weekend. Also at the gallery is Stephanie Patton, who is with us, and her exhibit is called Private Practice.
Private Practice.
Which does sound like a soap opera, but... So, and people who are listening may have been hearing you talk about parties and, you know, using life as a starting point for your art. Describe the bulk of these pieces and where this came from.
It's interesting. I'm excited, very excited about the show. Obviously, it's a big opportunity for me, and I appreciate it very much. A Private Practice, well, it's definitely got an influence of that kind of comic element. I had the show General Hospital, which was based off loosely off of a soap opera title. But I've been really interested in work that deals with like mental and physical health and all these ideas of protection and comfort. And I've been working with – it's funny. One of my friends said, oh, this is a new direction for you, these white vinyl pieces. I said, actually, I've been working with white vinyl since 2006. And when I think about it, just that material alone, I've been sewing – when I think about it, since 1995. And I was doing pink satin padded walls back then. Now it's turned into white vinyl. It's more minimal. They are sort of these relief sculptural pieces. And I really, one of the things I'm liking about them personally is the interaction of people to them. For the General Hospital show, one of the things I was most surprised about were how many people I saw taking their pictures in front of the actual pieces. Like if I had these big angel wings, to have this, you know, these people just posing under them. It was really interesting when this group of elderly people came to the show, and you wouldn't believe how many of them were posing and getting their pictures taken under the angel wings.
I hope so, you got a picture.
I think so. I hope so too. But no, I really, there's something about it. I'm liking that there, in some ways, this show is a little more minimal in a sense for me. I have, these large scale white vinyl pieces, and I'm also been doing a lot of work with the mattress quilting and mattresses, and I have a video in it. So it is a little combination of.
So are the mattress quilting pieces, is that cloth or is that still the white vinyl?
Oh, no, that's also like imagine a cookie cutter in a mattress. I mean, there are actual letters that spell out these words. You want me to tell you?
Well, we can save it for the exhibit, but as many people may not make it.
Yeah, good boy. So I. Well, that would be an example of one of the pieces. It's blue mattress, but I make them. So it's I measured a mattress, so it's like 7 or 8 inches deep, and I have been doing a lot with not only the batting, like pillow stuffing with the white vinyl pieces, but I've been using a lot of upholstery foam and also sewing. Funny how I'm now connected to all these mattress companies, but I've been getting the fabric and basically forming it around the shapes of the letters. So that piece in particular, I thought it was kind of funny and multiple and serious too. My work is not just funny. It's definitely got a very serious undertone to me.
All studies humor, about humor say that is serious.
It's very true with my stuff too. And but I like the humorous edge to it. And the Good Boy piece is also like that.
Well, and what you said when you first started talking about it, that's the idea of protection and comfort that we're all drawn to and are concerned about and want to ensure that we all have in some way or another. Mm-hmm. And so where did private practice come from? Why did you name it that?
I had a little bit of help from a friend. I will just let you know, Brian Guidry helped me out with that one. But, you know, for one, titles, I think, for my work are it's important because people may – I think it's an entryway. I think that the General Hospital title was really important for me because, yes, it was funny if you know the soap opera. But the work itself is actually very serious. And when I look at it, I'm like, gosh, that thing is all about death and dying and all this stuff, you know. And I was trying to come up with the right title for this, and I did think of different things. But when you think of what you personally – I like this title – because what you have to do to personally overcome obstacles in your own life, whether it be physical ailments or painful experiences that you might have had as a child or an adult, eventually, hopefully, you can overcome it and move on.
And find that comfort and protection.
Find that place, you know, and whatever. So the private practice, yes, I think there's actually a TV show called Private. And I was like, oh, no. I saw that after I had committed to this title. No, but I think it's actually funny and goes right along with the other titles that I've had, you know.
Yeah. Well, and we were just having a discussion at Care of Yes the other day about how difficult it is to find the right mattress.
So. You're not going to believe my dad is a furniture sales representative. He worked for Corsicana Bedding for like 25 years. So it's really funny.
Full circle.
There it is. I mean, I would have never dreamed.
Something in your childhood. coming up. It's bubbling
funny.
Up.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Fluffing up. In there. Yeah. If you are tuning in, my guests are Stephanie Patton, Troy Duga, artists. They will open their exhibits in New Orleans this weekend at Arthur Roger Gallery. Troy, it's your third show there. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie, this is your first major show, solo
yes.
show that
mm-hmm.
you're having. So congratulations on those.
Thank
and
you.
Again, should anybody want to see more of your images, you each have a presence on the web and people can search you out. Stephanie Patton, Troy Duga. And again, both graduates of UL, a wonderful little wave. And you mentioned so many other artists who came out of that time period.
Oh, yeah, it's been
Brian
great.
Guidry, Sean
yeah.
Major, and
Ralph Bork.
Yeah. Amazing artists, amazing professors as well. So,
can I just say one yes. other thing? Just to let everyone know, it is being extended. It's going to run through April 20th. So there probably is going to be, I'm guessing, a second art opening, but this is the major one. Mm-hmm. It's happening
You'll
this Saturday.
Be there. Yes.
yes.
Okay. So about a month and a half to see these exhibits. Mm-hmm. If you find your way down to New Orleans, you may want to check those out. And, of course, you can always come to the KRVS studios and see a couple pieces as well. Well, thank you both for sharing your time and thoughts about your art. And we look forward to decades to come of your artistic development.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.